Okay, great. We'll leave it there. If anyone has anything else to share, we can always we'll have plenty of time at the end. So I think Dave, you've got the videos lined up. So as I say, I'm not 100% sure what's coming your way, so stand by. I'm sure it'll be the audible voice of the Lord, but we'll wait and see. My 1825 lot, I don't want any of you ducking out of the room, as I know you're very
Chloe,
excited.
I'm
Chloe, I'm
excited.
looking at you, mate. I know you're all very excited about hearing yourselves on camera. So yeah, here we go. Open your eyes, open your hearts, and we'll see what my team have got to say to you. Dave, over to you, mate.
Everyone, so the title of my short preach is The Fragrance of God. So I heard this phrase mentioned several weeks ago on the radio, and basically it's been really playing on my mind ever since, and I've just been really thinking about this phrase. I've had a look through my Bible, and in 2 Corinthians 14 15, it says that God uses us to spread the knowledge of Christ everywhere, like a sweet perfume. Our lives are a Christ-like fragrance rising up to God. So then I've been thinking about, so why is smell so powerful? One of the reasons is because the olfactory system, so that's our sense of smell, is actually located in the same part of the brain that affects emotions, memory, and our creativeness. Smells can remind us of a certain person. So for me, my mum has worn the same perfume for as long as I can remember, J'adore. And whenever I smell that perfume, I'm instantly reminded of my mum. But smells, like particularly foul smells, can make us feel sick. But smells can also remind us of a place we once visited, or can trigger some of the most distant memories. So what's been challenging me since most since hearing this phrase is, how can I personally spread the aroma of God's love to the people around me? So in the Bible, in the Old Testament, an aroma signified the removal of sin and a relationship restored with God. Every time an offering was given, it says that an aroma pleasing to the Lord was produced. It was a fragrance of forgiveness. But in the New Testament, we can also read about the fragrance of love in John's Gospel. So everyone will know about when Mary washed Jesus' feet with a full jar of oil, which was worth about a year's salary, and she used her hair to wash his feet. So you can imagine how pleasing that aroma was and how amazing the house would have smelled. But I don't think it was just the physical aroma of the perfume, but I think it was matched with the spiritual aroma of the holiness that came from Mary's action and her sacrifice. I think that a new atmosphere was created, and that by saying that the whole house was filled with a fragrance of perfume, John is telling us that the woman's life, her heart, her attitude of worship, and surrender to the Lord, that's what changed the atmosphere. It wasn't just the perfume, it was her pure heart mingled with the grace of God, and her entire life was transformed into a sweet perfume, and everyone could recognize that. So I've been thinking, what can we learn from Mary? And I feel that for me, the main thing was setting our hearts on giving gifts of worship to Jesus. So going back to my initial question of how can I spread the aroma of God's love to the people around me, I don't exactly know the answer to this question, but like Mary, I've been thinking about, is there anything, or is there anything you can sacrifice in your life for Jesus? And the main thing that's been challenging me is I've been thinking about when I enter a room, does that room change because I've entered it? And when I leave it, does a fragrance of love and kindness remain? And this is really, really what I've been thinking about, and how I can like leave that lasting aroma of God's love behind, and that people can recognize that in me. And that's it, really. Thanks. Bye.
Hi guys, so my 5 minute preach is going to be more of a testimony than a preach, and just talking about where I'm at with my journey with God and how I've basically got through the past few months of lockdown. So at the start of lockdown, I kind of found myself at a part of a bit of a crossroads really, where me and Chloe obviously getting married in the new year, and I felt, right, I need to start saving, I need to get a new job, and I need to start moving forward in my life and basically getting myself together and finding out where I needed to be. And I didn't know that, and it was horrible for me because I felt I was stuck in limbo and didn't know where I was going with my life or what was happening, basically. It was hard. I felt very down. I got quite down at the start of lockdown, and it was just kind of like, it was hard for me to be sat at home doing nothing. So I started applying for jobs in a lot of different things, a lot of graphic design jobs and a lot of stuff in what I trained in before at university, and a lot of photography jobs, but nothing accepted. I didn't get one interview, no one responded, and it was complete cold shoulder from people. I think I applied for around 20 jobs in the end and didn't hear back from one. So I started praying and talking to God and asking, what was it I need to do? What do you want me to do? Where do I need to be? And I was watching a TV program, which I enjoy, and it hit me, and God said, you need to do that. And I was watching a program called Ink Master, and I felt God telling me that I needed to retrain to become a tattoo artist. And I thought it was a bit strange, because I'd always wanted to be one since I was about 16, and I started thinking about my own personal tattoos. And I felt God said, that's what you need to do, that's where you need to be. So I started researching and putting together my portfolio and thinking, well, this is going to be impossible. I haven't drawn for years. I haven't made paintings for years, and my portfolio isn't together. So for the 6 months of lockdown, I drew and drew and drew and drew and did not stop. And me and Chloe were drawing Read and Draw the Circle and Bob Goff, and I thought, right, we need to declare this. So I'm going to buy a machine, I'm going to buy the things I need to do the job, and I'm going to declare it by buying those things. And in doing that as well, I messaged studios asking for apprenticeships, and only one responded, and they said, yeah, we're going to be looking in the new year, we're going to be looking around December time for an apprentice. And I said, okay, that's brilliant. And then they messaged me saying, give us your details, come in for a chat, and we'll see if we want to go from there. So I went into the studio, and they said, it's brilliant. And they said, right, we'll have a trial and see if we want to take your application any further. I said, that's brilliant. He said, the trial won't be for a while. So then I was just doing the shopping with Mum, and I got a phone call from a random number. And it was the studio, and they rang me in August saying, can you come up to the studio and come in and help, basically, and start your trial now? I said, yeah, I'll be on my way. So I drove straight to the studio because I knew that was where I needed to be. It was something I prayed for a job. And they said, we want you in. So I started a trial, and it was meant to be a 2 week trial, and they were going to get in contact after. And I was praying about it, and I felt brilliant in the studio. I said, I felt God tell me that it was where I needed to be, and what that was what declared it was what I was meant to be doing. And a week into that trial, they offered me the opportunity to be an apprentice there and to work there. So I'm now working there full time as an apprentice. And really, my testimony is a thanks to God for giving me a job for something that really I felt was a long shot and would never happen, but God knew it was in the plan. And yeah, really it's just a thanks to God, because I spoke to a few people about it and everyone was a little bit cautious, and some people were like, I think that's right, and I was cautious in myself. And really it's a thanks and to God that I listened and did what I was told, and his providing for me and Chloe as a couple, that I've now got a solid apprenticeship as a tattoo artist, learning, doing something that I love in a great community with a great group of people who already know I'm a Christian. They knew from day one because they asked about my tattoos, and it gave me that opportunity to talk to people because I wanted to be in a job where I could talk to people about my faith, but also be in a position to talk to them about it as well, in a position where Christians normally wouldn't have gone before. But yeah, that's it really. I really, it's just a thanks to God about what it is, really. And yeah, it's just thank you to God and thank you for listening.
Okay, good morning. I'm afraid I don't have a fancy title for my 3-minute preach, but what I want us to do is to start off by reading from the book of James, specifically chapter 1, and we'll start from verse 2. I'm reading from the ESV. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. I'm going to skip ahead to verse 12. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Now, those of you who know me will know this is a verse, and particularly a passage I often turn to if I'm struggling with something in my life. I've done so with my job on several occasions over the years. And I'm sure many of you have done the same. You know, it's a good verse to fall back on just to remind ourselves that when we're experiencing personal difficulties, those are the times when we really need to stand strong in our faith. But this morning I wanted to talk about how I believe this passage is quite relevant to us as a nation and indeed a world, given the situation with coronavirus. So I've started off by finding a couple of dictionary definitions for what a trial is. Now, obviously, we're all well aware what a trial is in a court of law, but there are some other meanings. One of them is subjection to suffering or grievous experiences, a distressed or painful state. And another one is a trying, distressing, or annoying thing. So given those definitions and also what I believe to be another meaning to this passage, I believe that at the moment, coronavirus and indeed the accompanying lockdown is a trial we're all dealing with at the moment. And I believe that's a trial because not only is coronavirus itself a fairly nasty infection, certainly those who have had it will testify to that. Thankfully, I've not had it. But I'm sure those who have will admit that it's not a pleasant experience. But also the effects of coronavirus being felt passively by those of us who have not suffered from it. You know, we're still being locked down. We're still having to deal with social distancing, the rules of six, and even more restrictions on indoor limits, for example. Technically by law, you're not allowed to mix more than two households in a private dwelling. So we're separated from each other at the moment. And whilst the lockdown has been eased in certain areas, although I know up in the north it's becoming tighter again, and there are opportunities for us to meet as a church. I know many people here have been involved in the missional community work over the past several weekends. Unfortunately, I've been working every Sunday. I've not been able to be involved with that. But even in those situations, we're still not able to come together in the capacity that we did before coronavirus. Physical contact is not allowed, for example. And one area where I've really struggled myself is with Zoom meetings. I don't know about the rest of you. Personally, I've always struggled with video conferences, whether it be church meetings via Zoom or even at work when we have video conferences. Certainly it was a common occurrence in my previous role, in my old job. Not so much now, thankfully. But I've always struggled with them. I find during a video conference I'm cut off from the people I'm talking to. I find it to be very impersonal. And with the church meetings, I've actually found it that, yeah, okay, fine, so I'm on a Zoom meeting with everybody, but actually I'm still alone in my house, and therefore I don't feel I'm getting that genuine level of fellowship that I'm used to experiencing in a church setting. And for that, I find that actually my spirit's become quite dry because of the lockdown. And that's where I want to go back to what this passage tells us, because whilst we are separated from each other physically, we're not in any way separated from God. And because of that, I think it's important, I'm certain I'm using this as an encouragement for myself as well as anyone else who needs to hear it, that we need to draw and press into him even more, build on the faith we have, and just continue to be faithful to God during this lockdown, because I'm viewing it as a test of our faith. And because of that, I believe that once the lockdown is completely lifted and the coronavirus pandemic has been abated, I won't say gone away, because I don't think we'll ever be rid of it, I believe that those of us who have continued to be faithful and built on that will be rewarded with the crown of life mentioned in the passage, and will have produced steadfastness within ourselves. Thank you.
Good morning. I have a testimony I'd love to share. This year, I've just graduated from university doing a 3-year course in photography. Finishing uni after 3 years in lockdown was super, super challenging. Really put a strain on my faith, really, and kind of made me question why this was happening at such an important time of my life. Really struggled to finish my course, especially in photography, not really knowing what to photograph in the household environment, which kind of led to really like big ups and downs, really struggling and trying to push through. My photography project then turned into me documenting my faith. So going out on walks and where I'd find peace and kind of get through and find God in these strange times, which really challenged my faith to have to explain this to my lecturers and friends, what I was trying to capture through the camera. But really kind of helped me push along through these like hard times, and really felt the devil trying to like bring me down when it was meant to be such a celebratory year. This kind of brought me back on path, really, and kind of really enjoyed my photography project and kind of getting closer to God again. I once read a quote. It says, "Complaining about not hearing God when your Bible is closed is like complaining about getting no text or phone calls when your phone is turned off." Which really changed my mindset moving forward, really. And when I was really struggling, the first thing I did wasn't to turn to my Bible, it was just to kind of complain, which moving forward changed my mindset to then thinking about my jobs and what I kind of wanted to do. For those who don't know, my dream job would be medical photographer. As I was just finishing university, a post came up for a training medical photographer, which was perfect. So I decided to apply for this one. But I felt really at peace about it, and if it was going to happen, God would make it happen. It would happen for all the right reasons. Especially after reading that quote, kind of really made me tap into God, and I started reading Draw the Circle again, and kind of really felt at peace going into it, and then got offered an interview. Still really felt at peace, and was so excited, and I knew if I wasn't going to get it, that was fine. It was God's plan. So I got a phone call back from the interview saying I was unsuccessful, however, was in their top 3 out of 25 applicants, which really gave me like a buzz and like that kind of push forward to know that everything was going to be okay. I just needed that experience, that God led that there for me. I then was reading Draw the Circle, and there was a passage in it that says, "I know God heard me. It just means the answer is no. I've learned to praise God when the answer is no, not just when the answer is yes. It simply means I'm asking for the wrong thing, or for the wrong reasons, or for the wrong time," which really spoke to me at this time. So I was on a really high, kind of moving forward, just finished university, was just searching for jobs to start earning, but really struggled with different applications. No one was getting back, and I was really struggling. Started to get really down again because I wasn't getting anywhere, and I was like kind of asking God what was this time. In this season, there was a lot in the church talking about the waiting period, which was really difficult because I just wanted to kind of start my life and like my career and my next chapter. So I just felt this was a bit like twiddling my fingers, and I just really wanted to know where I was going. I think I was really in that mindset of like praying like an ASAP prayer rather than like as long as it would take kind of prayer. Just wanted it to all happen now, really. So that was kind of a really big challenge for me in this waiting period. I think God tested me to see if I put all my faith in him and like that waiting period that everything would happen when it would happen, really. So I then applied for two different jobs in the NHS and heard back from both of those after a period of time and lots of praying and lots of ups and downs. And then I kind of was like laying it all on God, praying, and I was listening to a song called by Vertical Worship called Yes I Will. And there is a line in the song where it says, "I count on one thing, the same God that never fails will not fail me now. In the waiting, the same God who is never late is working all things out." And I was just proclaiming that. And the day after that, I was proclaiming that. I was listening to that song on repeat over and over again. I got offered the job that I really wanted to get in the end. I was then offered a post at the Children's Hospital as a receptionist and clerical officer. But I just think, like, looking back now, I can just see that that kind of period of waiting and that really, like, on edge, and I didn't know what was happening. I just had to trust in God. I needed that to then know I was meant to be in the right place, and God put that there in front of me for a reason, not the other interview that I had got. I know that by pushing to God and building up my faith again, that this is all on him and all the glory goes to him, and I couldn't have done this year without him and all the struggles. Once read in the Draw the Circle book, it says, "God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called." And I kind of related this to my job that I've just been offered and I've just started, because I was really kind of anxious and nervous. I'd never done anything like this before, and could I do this? And had loads of doubts, and I really felt the devil trying to get in saying, "You can't do this." And I just thought, God's given me this job, and he's put that job in front of me, so he's going to equip me with everything that I need for it. And I know that he's not going to let me fail in something that he's given me. So I'm so excited now to start a new chapter and the job he's given me, to get my foot in that door and just kind of work up within the NHS to get to where I want to be. So, yeah.
Okay, good morning. So my 3-minute preach is going to be called The Upper Room. So let's get straight into it. Acts 1 verse 12, reading from the NIV. "Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, about a day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with their brothers." The story goes on, and then we get to Acts 2, which I'm sure you're all well aware of. "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them." Okay, so this is a story that I'm sure you're all well aware of. It's just after the ascension of Jesus up to heaven, and the apostles or disciples get together to spend some time in what we call the upper room, praying, basically. Praying, I don't know if they were worshipping or anything else, the Bible doesn't make it exactly clear. Nevertheless, they were all together, essentially with one heart, which is the way the scripture depicts it. There's a few kind of just really simple key points I want to bring out here. Not all of it kind of particularly happy, joyous thoughts at the moment, but I'll share with them very briefly anyway. So I guess whilst as a church, we are not physically in one place together, one room. We are individually, we've very much been confined to the upper room, if you like, our own homes, our houses. For those of you that have maybe been furloughed or are now working from home, this upper room concept is probably a lot more prevalent to yourselves than maybe others. So I guess one of my first points would be, what does your upper room look like? Have you during this time with lockdown, with the virus and everything else, have you used this as an opportunity to thrive, essentially? Have you utilized your slightly lesser workload or your ability to work from home and have a bit more freedom, your opportunity of furlough to not need to physically go to work or anything like that? Have you utilized that in a godly way? Have you spent more time with the Lord that you would normally? That's my first point. I will share with you from my point of view. Definitely not. I find this whole thing pretty tough, to be honest. As you all know, George and I are both nurses. So what does my upper room look like? My upper room looks like a hospital. It looks like a hospital in a pretty poor state, to be honest. It looks like a house that needs lots of work doing on it that we don't have time to do. It looks like one of three jobs that I'm working. It looks like that managing a child and everything else that goes with that. It looks like a laptop that doesn't want to use Zoom again. So my upper room looks pretty bleak. It looks like it could do with being decorated, if I'm honest. I guess I challenge you with this. Let's leave it like this. The apostles in the upper room, they knew what they were praying for. They were praying for Pentecost. They were praying for the Holy Spirit to come down and be upon them and everything then that happened following that. I guess I challenge you, as I ch completely challenge myself in this, as I've shared with you, this hasn't been a particularly great time for myself personally, or maybe George and me together. What are you praying for in your upper room? What are you utilizing this time for? Are you just praying, thinking, oh, it's great, get to spend some time with God and read some literature, Christian literature, and listen to more music and be at home with my family, even if you're still going to work as normal? Has this been a tough time? But what do you want to see happen off the back of this? Are we all getting together in our upper rooms and praying that there's going to be a massive breakthrough in this country? Because as a country, as more and more we become kind of distrusting and disillusioned, and there is greater animosity between groups of people, and we become kind of more dictated to by our politicians as to what we can and can't do. Is this a position that you are okay with? I'm not saying you should or shouldn't be, but is this something that you're okay with? Is this something you're happy to move forward with? Or is this something that you can now utilize your time in the upper room to pray for? This is one of probably the most prolific thing that's happened in my lifetime, is this coronavirus. So what would be the outcome of it? Well, let's spend some time praying in our upper rooms and asking God what the outcome's going to be. And once he's made it clear to us the way in which he's going to move, that's what we'll pray for, and we'll push forward as individuals, as a church, but as Christians united. That's my well, not 3 minutes, but that's my thought for the day.